how much sex is normal and how much sex should you expect to have in a long-term relationship? And what if the lack of sex affects your overall relationship happiness? You and I will get into what the research says other people are doing, how the FOMO perception gap is messing with your sexual happiness. And if you do want to have more sex, you are going to learn two tools you can access right at this moment. Hi, I'm Dr. Trina Reed, sexologist, and welcome to the Pursuit of Pleasure podcast, where we do a deep dive into what makes women in long-term relationships excited to have sex. Thank you for subscribing to my YouTube channel. And if you want to have a deep, soul-quenching, mind-blowing sex life, please check out my free masterclass workbook. The most common question I've heard in my 25-year career is... how much sex is normal? Or a version of, am I sexually normal? Spoiler alert, there never is and never will be an answer to the how much sex is normal question, because there are way too many variables at play in your ever-changing life. At the end of this podcast, you will find out what research says the Goldilocks amount of sex for a couple is. Here's the first thing to wrap your head around. Your sex will never be a static number. Instead, it's an evolution. This understandably throws a lot of couples off because it's so much easier to have a concrete number of times per month. But, you know, the thing is, sometimes you will feel connected to your partner, and at other times you will feel disconnected. And sex will ebb and flow with how connected you feel. So if you want to have sex more often, you have to make efforts to connect outside the bedroom, and we're going to get more into that in just a bit. But first, let's look at what the research has to say. A 2017 study from the Archives of Sexual Behavior found that the average adult currently enjoys sex 54 times a year, which equates to about 3 times per month. Other studies show that it's more likely to occur twice a month if you're in the 35 to 45-year-old range, with a third of people in the mid-40s range not having sex at all in the last month. Meaning, it's normal to have no sex at all. I don't know about you, but I didn't find that very helpful. And that is because research is unable to account for your life's inevitable ebbs and flows, those seasons of life like losing a job or having kids. So these are the things that affect the frequency of your sex. Here's the rub. I don't believe people are as concerned about how much sex they are having compared to other people. I like to call it the sex FOMO, the gap between the perception and reality of what you believe other people are doing. Generally speaking, people think everyone else is having a lot more sex and a lot better sex than they are. And FYI, they're not. I remember having this how much sex is normal discussion with a male family member who was experiencing some marital issues. And when I told him that the research indicated having sex twice a month was normal for his age group, he refused to believe me. He believed that his circle of friends must be having sex at least twice or three times a week, and I could not convince him that most likely that was not the case. Because neither of us had bedside access to his friend group, and that's the crux. We don't know what happens behind closed doors, so we make incorrect assumptions about what we think is a normal amount of sex. When I ask the average person how much sex they think they should be having, they will inevitably say 3 times per week. Like, the magic number is 3 times a week. To be clear, 3 times a week is not necessarily what the couple wants to have, it's what they believe they should be doing to be sexually fulfilled. And it makes sense that if you don't feel like you're having enough sex, for example, you're having sex twice a month and believe you should be having sex 3 times a week, then the natural solution is to have sex more often. But having sex more often probably is not going to make you feel all the good things that sex helps you feel. The Social, Psychological, and Personality Science surveyed over 30,000 Americans over 40 years for three different projects. It found couples who had sex more than once a week did not report being any happier, and those who had sex less than once a week reported feeling less fulfilled. And just to give you an example, I'm from Calgary, and a few years back, a Calgary couple decided to have sex daily for a year and then write a blog about their experience. Now, after only a few months, having sex every single day became a chore for them both, and they quit 6 months in because sex every day made their relationship and sexual experience worse. So I would say to you, couples do not need to have sex three times a week. What couples need is to create erotic threads, a simmering of anticipation between sexual encounters to be more sexually satisfied. That way, when you do have sex, it's passionate, it's meaningful, and it's soul-quenching. Sex becomes so much more than just a number you check off on your calendar. And I really hope that you can understand the profound difference between having an erotic connection and having intercourse. And if you don't know how to make that erotic connection better, check out the fantastic website OMGYES, which I'll tell you more about at the end of this video. So the next question you might have is, if you aren't having sex regularly, could it be a sign of a larger problem? I've always said you can gauge what's happening inside the bedroom by what's happening outside the bedroom. And the Pursuit of Pleasure podcast series goes into why women lose interest in sex, but more importantly, what she can do to want to have sex again. Because when a woman is having sex that does not work for her, it creates a lot of anger and frustration and resentment and not a lot of sex. So that woman might be asking, is it okay if you don't want to have a ton of sex? And this leads to the next really good point. What if you're experiencing mismatched libidos where one partner wants sex less or more than the other? And the short answer is, the couple should have the amount of sex of whoever wants sex the least. So if that's once a month, then it's once a month. And if you want to change that and have more sex, then change how you're having sex with that person. Now, to help us understand what that all means, let's look at what kind of sex you're having and how it's affecting how much sex you're willing to have. Karen Gurney's book, The Mind Gap, talks about the difference between spontaneous desire, compassionate desire, responsive desire, and goal-oriented sex. Compassionate desire is when you have sex, but midway through, you still don't feel like it, but you want to see your partner happy. It's the joy of compersion, meaning seeing them happy. That benefit outweighs the cost of actually not wanting to have sex. And then there's goal-oriented sex. This is where you don't want to do it at the start, but go in knowing that you really like the end result. This means you see the end goal, that in 15, 20, 30 minutes, having sex is going to benefit you and your relationship. And in essence, you accept the trade-off. However, when sex is initiated and you don't feel spontaneous desire, responsive desire, or want compassionate sex, then you should not be having sex. And the person who wants to have more sex needs to find that pain point and address it. And here's the next pain point for the majority of couples, and that is skillfully navigating your way through a "I'm not happy with our sex life" conversation without a massive and lingering fight, which, to be truthful, is virtually impossible. Negotiating about sex takes that skill set to the next level. The majority of couples are not able to do this. So you are not trained to disassemble a nuclear bomb, and don't feel bad if you can't. Just as you shouldn't feel bad for not knowing how to navigate through these tricky conversations, my best suggestion to you is to go see a sex therapist or a counselor who is trained to help you navigate in a productive and meaningful way. Yes, a therapist or counselor costs money, but how much is it costing your relationship not to have these conversations? A counselor, a therapist, a sex coach will efficiently and effectively help you and your partner figure out what is the right amount of sex for your relationship. Now, let's talk about quality versus quantity. Sex is so much more than intercourse and having an orgasm. Quality sex includes a spectrum of intimacy and touch. If you want to feel more sexually satiated, then you need to focus on emotional connection, erotic threads, and intimacy. And ladies, you have to be clear about what you need before ensuring your partner's needs are met. When you both ensure that your partner's core needs are met, it's going to build enthusiasm and desire. At the end of the day, the how much sex is normal focus should not be on hitting the magic number, but instead on meeting the needs of both partners and creating erotic threads. And for those of you waiting to find out what is the magic number of sex that research has found, well, research shows that having sex once a week is believed to be the Goldilocks standard for sexual happiness. If you have sex more often or less often, it does not mean anything other than that's what you do. But let's say you do want to have sex more often. What can you do? And how can you add sex into a busy life and make sure that it happens? It starts with a conversation. And the first tool I would recommend to get this conversation started is the OMG YES website. This is an instructional website that has compiled an interactive online resource that discusses and demonstrates real-life techniques that bring a woman pleasure. With over 1 million satisfied users, it's a minimal one-time fee for a lifetime of access. And there's definitely a lot of value here. So please check out my OMG YES video to find out more. And my second tool is mindfulness. A growing body of research coming out of the Sexuality Health Laboratory at the University of British Columbia shows the effectiveness of mindfulness on women's sexual pleasure. Director Dr. Lori Brado's research proves mindfulness meditation can positively influence libido and sexuality, potentially improving sexual desire, satisfaction, and function by increasing awareness of bodily sensations and thoughts during sex. Now, if you don't know how to meditate, no worries. Check out my mindfulness meditation video. And if you think this is something that can work for you, make sure to get a free 7-day trial, and the link will be in the description. Bottom line, having the right amount of sex for your relationship at this particular moment in your life will never be a static number. Rather, an evolution, and it takes the two of you figuring this out together. The excellent news is that the OMG, YES, and Mindfulness Meditation websites make this straightforward and easy by focusing on and discussing the quality of your sex rather than the quantity of your sex. And if these two tools interest you, please make sure to use my affiliate link in the description. It doesn't cost you any extra and helps support my work. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments on what you think is a normal amount of sex in a long-term relationship. Please check out my free masterclass workbook and video, and thank you for liking and subscribing to my YouTube channel. Your support helps grow women's sexual pleasure, because even though your sex life will never be perfect, you can create a sex life that is perfect for you. And if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure to check out this next video.